We just have a report that President Kennedy is dead.
232 GIs killed and 900 wounded makes one of the heaviest weeks of the Vietnam War.
America was in a terrible mess at that time. There was rippling under the surface of the Watergate affair. There was a general hatred that America had ever been involved in the Vietnam War, for example. So here was a nation screaming, for God's sake, give us something that can go out to the world and say we're wonderful again.
Well, take us back to that day and the experience that you had being involved in the moon landing as a reporter.
It's amazing how the organisation of NASA for the about 3,000 press who were there was something you'd never dream of. They had stuff out, demonstrations all the time, bits of paper, logs, and goodness knows what to keep you going. The night before the launching, the crowd that gathered, and this is out of that group of people that were angry and hassled, the crowd that gathered was estimated to be 1 million people. The next morning, the quarantine was in a building like a hotel, and at 26 minutes past six the next morning, the three emerged. Now, the people who were outside the doors were their wives and families, a couple of friends, and three or four of us were invited to be there. So it was just a little group. And, you know, when that door opened, and these three, helmets, white jackets, life support beside you, the hair stood on your neck, there's no doubt. I mean, absolutely, it just tore me apart to think that this is going to happen. These three men are going to go up there and walk on another planet.
3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff, 32 minutes past the hour.
You cannot believe the sound, the noise, and the smoke, the whole the country just rattled. All around you for miles, and they say the sound could be heard 30 miles away. Massive. And those million voices you could actually hear, go, go, go! Such was the feeling, and that's what it was all about.
It's like it was yesterday, the way you're speaking. It's like you've been transported back 50 years.
I've never left it, love. It's that important.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
What did you think when you realised that it had happened, that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had succeeded and were standing there on the moon?
Oh, that's just... I was trained to... from all this material that I bring with me today that shows you logs and procedures and... Oh, goodness no. We're all primed, ready to be, you know, ready to take that stuff. It was only a matter of fact, I can tell you.
So there was no doubt at the time that they were going to succeed?
No doubt whatever. Oh, heavens no, it was laydown was there. Just a couple of days before the launch, I lost my accommodation. It ran out and... You don't need to be without accommodation at times like that. So Dr. Jim again came to the party, and he organised for me to stay in the home of Mr. George Bush, who later became the president of the United States.
Hang on, you stayed in George Bush's house
in his seaside place at Cocoa Beach, and on the way there, Mary Bubb was Reuters journalist, and she had a bit of a ding on at her place that night, and called me in and said, come and have a drink with the boys. And while I was there, I told her about the boomerangs. And she said, what have boomerangs got to do with it? Well, I said, I'm going to tell you about the world's first aerofoil, symbol of safe return, and I've got three of them. Where are they? I said, they're out in the car. So she said, go get them. They're beautifully made. Pat organised this.
So you brought some boomerangs from Australia.
Yeah, made by our Indigenous people up in the centre. And had little plates on them that just said what I just spoke. And Mary said, oh, this is fantastic. Well, how are we going to get them to them? She said, I know. Because then in the apartment next door, there was Johnny Lovell. He was being a naughty boy. He and his crew were the backup for Apollo 11. And they were having a night off. And they shouldn't have been there. But they took the three boomerangs and they did give them to them later.
So they gave your boomerangs to Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong?
Yes, and they got them all right because they told me that when they came to Sydney.
Roger, we got a pretty good little jump.
Once the blokes were up on the moon and going according to schedule, Jim Osborne, the manager of Channel 7, he phoned out and said he wanted me home for the day they landed them back on Earth. He said, I want you landed as well. So he had me, had the aircraft that brought me home stop way out the other end of the runway and get out there. And he had a helicopter standing by with a lady dressed in a spacesuit to fly back to the Epping Studios. That was all part of Jim's finale to the thing. But
well, so because you'd been there when they launched, yes, they wanted you in Australia to tell the story.
You've got to remember as a journo, there were no facilities other than telegrams or telephones. If you wanted a movie, we used to have to send them. I had the cameraman. He had to drive about 50 miles to the nearest airport, put it on an aeroplane to get it to San Francisco, to hand it over to Qantas, to get it down to Sydney. Oh, how many days later? I mean, that was the way it was.
Talk me through. We're sitting here in your home, and you've got out some of your, I guess we'll call it memorabilia from the moon landing. What can we see over here? Talk me through what we've got here, Bruce.
Well, this is their food of the day. That was their clam chowder.
Don't worry. We're losing everything, but let's have a look at this. That's food prepared for astronauts on Apollo 11, yeah. Clam chowder.
Yes, and here's the other one.
So they add water to this, and that's
right.
Dinner.
That's right. And
they gave you this as a sample, did they?
Yes, yeah.
And you've kept it all those 50 years.
Yes.
Will you do anything on Sunday to mark the 50th anniversary?
I'll probably have another extra glass of wine there, something like that.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce. You're a friend of the ABC and ABC Central Coast, and we've spoken to you over the years about many different matters, but I don't think we've sat down and had a chat about the moon before with you.
No, it doesn't come up every day. I'm honoured to think that you bothered.
It's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.